WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Number two of the program here on Thursday, the final day of July, the first day of the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, and of course, a day where you can call in and share your thoughts on all the topics of the day, which is really every day here at 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We are discussing a variety of topics already this morning. We were talking about Mayor Mitchell's fight to keep the federal buildings open in New Bedford. And if you are, you know, someone who utilizes those services, Social Security Administration, IRS, NOAA, U.S. Border and, what's it, Customs and Border Protection. Jeez. Getting it all inverted in my brain. But all of that and other offices as well are contained within the two federal buildings in New Bedford. And Mayor Mitchell's argument is because those entities regulate so much of what goes on in New Bedford that they should be in New Bedford. So you can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I also said that we would play Chris's exchange with Mayor Mitchell from yesterday's Midweek with the Mayor regarding the hiring of legal permanent residents for the New Bedford Police Department. And so I'm going to play that clip for you just in case you missed it. It's about 8 minutes long. I'll probably pare it down a little bit more for future use, but trying to do it here on the fly this morning, I got it down to just that back and forth discussion. So I'm just going to play that for you in case, so that if you haven't heard it, you can be up to date on it. And then we can discuss it on the other side, 508-996-0500. But this is Chris and Mayor Mitchell yesterday from Midweek with the Mayor during South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. And they were broadcasting from the Museum of Madeiran Heritage, just in case you hear anything in the background or if it sounds a little bit different than the normal discussion.
Mayor, the other situation in the city is you've hired a non-citizen to be a police officer. The New Bedford Light did a big story about it. Talk about that, Mayor.
There were non-citizens who operate in all manner of positions, Chris, including the United States Armed Forces, including in police departments all over the country.
Right.
So there's nothing unique about it. The person that's been picked on the radio in particular is an officer who has legal permanent status in the United States. He's not an illegal alien. So for all the talk about a foreigner on the police department and words like that, frankly, it reflects an ignorance of folks who are working every day in important positions, including in government at every level, who are not citizens. Citizenship in this country is a hard thing to secure. It takes forever. This is part of the bigger problem with immigration in the United States. Citizenship is paperwork intensive. It takes a long time. The processes are slow. And the reality is that this particular officer adds value to the department. We have thousands of people in this city who speak Quiche. Quiche is a language spoken by the Maya in Guatemala. Those people who speak Quiche here in the city, no, they're not all illegal immigrants. But they are people who live here, and there are people who pay taxes and go to and send their kids to our schools. And yes, they live in our neighborhoods. And like everybody else, if they know something that the police need to know, if they witnessed a crime, if they have other concerns, they need to communicate. If you have communication barriers, language barriers, that makes it harder for police to solve crimes. And so having somebody on the police department who speaks that language, he's the only one, is very useful. As someone who has had to try to communicate with witnesses in other languages as I investigated cases with federal law enforcement agencies, it's hard. The language barrier, even when you have an interpreter, it's hard to get information that you need. And so, yeah, I think having somebody with those skills is important. I think all the talk here about, well, he's not a citizen. Honestly, that's guess what? There are non-citizens working at stuff in government all over America, and that's a newsflash for a lot of folks out there. But no, this guy's valuable to our department, and I'm glad we have him.
Why do you think the state police have a citizen requirement?
I don't know. You can ask them. I don't speak for them. I don't agree with it.
We had a policy of requiring citizenship, didn't you?
No.
Never?
No. No.
How did it get on the website?
Because somebody in the police department erroneously put it up. Chris.
No,
yeah,
but do you know when they put it up?
I think it was in the last 3 months, right? The last 3 months. Yeah, somebody put it up there without vetting it with counsel. They shouldn't have done that. And this was in the time period when we're transitioning between chiefs.
Right.
They screwed that up. But listen,
When did the first non-citizen become a police officer?
In New Bedford?
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing we're going to speak.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Think of it this way. If you are a legal permanent resident,
right,
you, by definition, have the right to work in the United States.
Right.
So then the question is, you have the right to work. Employers can discriminate on the basis of citizenship. You can say, if you're an employer, no, I only hire citizens.
Right, like the state police.
Right, like, and some police departments.
Yeah.
But not like the police departments in, say, Fall River, Brockton, Attleboro. You had the sheriff on the other day. He used to be the mayor of Attleboro. And so Attleboro was another place where non-citizens could be hired.
But they can't work at the Bristol County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, I know. So I understand he proudly said that. But yeah. but guess what? He was the mayor of Attleboro. And
they could do that there.
They could do that.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah. So the question is, so does the employer say, no, we can't hire, you can't work here if you are not a citizen.
Right.
Right, even if you have permanent.
I think that's a reasonable thing.
Well, people come to different conclusions.
Right. No, I agree with that.
So my conclusion is, yeah, if we're going to hire somebody who speaks a different language, if the chief says, I need bodies because, for one thing, my police department is 25% down from where they used to be. Right, because people don't want to become police officers these days. It's hard, Chris. Mm. It's really hard to hire police officers because young kids, they don't want to do that job. They don't want to be teachers. They don't want to serve in the military. That's a struggle today. Secondly, if somebody has a language skill that helps the police department solve crime, that's valuable too. Or if the person has other skills, if the person's a computer whiz or an accountant or has some kind of skill that adds value, we shouldn't be shutting those people out. Doesn't make any sense to me. So that's the policy here. And like, if people want to say, like, we don't hire foreigners and all that, because that's some of the talking. Well, yeah. Guess what? We just had a police chief, two chiefs ago, who was born in the Azores, Joe Cadero.
Right.
He
was a citizen, though.
He's a citizen. I'm just saying, I understand. Right. I've heard secondhand about some of the talk on the station.
I'm sure you have.
Like, yeah. And so people would say, like, don't hire foreigners. Like, really?
Well, you got to hire people who are citizens.
No, I don't have to hire people who are citizens.
I'm not saying you do. I'm saying if a person is an immigrant to the country and they've gone through the citizenship process, they're completely valid.
Wait for 10 years to do all that, right? So, so we've moved on. And guess who loses out when that happens? It's not just the person. It's the police department. It's the residents of our city. These people, you have somebody who can add value to the department, A, by being a police officer, because we need people. So all this talk about excluding citizens from those jobs, guess what? We could, if we had more qualified people, we'd be hiring up folks, citizens, right? We're not getting that many applicants, nor are really any urban police department in the U.S. Mm-hmm. This is a national problem, right? So no citizens getting excluded, no qualified citizens getting excluded at all. Secondly, if the person has a skill set that makes it easier for folks to solve crime,
right?
Great. I'm all for it.
Well, we've given the mayor his opportunity to speak on it.
I think honestly, Chris, I think the rhetoric is just way off the mark, right?
It's a value thing. You either get it or you don't get it. In other words, if you really think...
No, my values are the same. My value is I want our city to be safe.
I get it.
If a police officer is going to be hired that makes our city safer, I'm all for it.
I just don't think a non-citizen should put handcuffs or use deadly force on a citizen.
Because the citizenship process is taking too long? Yeah, I don't agree. So yet another reason why we need immigration reform in the U.S. We can all agree on that.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Well, we're not taking a break. We're taking your phone calls, 508-996-0500. Get your reaction to that. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Billy Satfields. I'm glad you played that clip. You know, you heard the mayor, what he said about people talking about this, ignorant to the facts.
He said it reflects an ignorance, I think, implying an ignorance on some of, who can work and who can't work.
Well, no, you're trying to bring a thing in here. But my thing, when I heard this, when he said the people are, when they're talking about this, it shows an ignorance on their part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way I took it, and I don't know, and I'm glad you played it. The person that was doing the most talking about this was Chris McCarthy. So he just took a shot at Chris McCarthy by calling him ignorant. Okay? That's the way I took it. He's trying to talk around everybody. He doesn't like this is his first mistake in the past year. So he used that word ignorance directed to Chris McCarthy because he's the one that brought it to everybody's attention. That's my take on that thing. And the mayor should wake up because he doesn't care about the people telling you. But he took a shot at Chris McCarthy because Chris is the one that brought it to the people. If he wouldn't have brought it on the radio, nobody would have known about it. So, Chris, that's your boy calling you ignorant.
Well, you have a good day.
No.
I was just going to say, it was, to be fair, it was New Bedford Light that brought this information out when they did a profile piece on.
Well, we understand that most of the people, the percentage of the people in New Bedford don't read that piece of crap.
My point is not.
I know your point.
I don't know necessarily that you do. Because what I'm saying here is it's. The New Bedford Police Department's own attempted PR for this hire that ended up causing this problem.
I don't want to talk about what they did and did. My point is what the mayor said, how he takes shots at people. Okay, he said, am I wrong? Play the clip again. The people are ignorant when they talk about it. He's taking a shot because Chris McCarthy brought it to the public, the majority of the public. Maybe one or two people know about it. Chris has got a strong voice on the radio. And if you don't take it that way, that's the way I take it. And as I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that take it the same way.
All right.
He called Chris McCarthy. So, thank you.
Okay, have a good day. And, my point there was, yes, Chris started talking about it on the radio. But let's not lose sight of the fact that the New Bedford Police Department allowed for this. And I'm just saying this for anybody that wants to place blame, quote unquote, on Chris for this, not that that's what Gilly was saying. I'm just saying for anybody that looks at this and says, kind of like what the mayor was saying, kind of what the mayor was implying. well, you're the one, Chris, making a bigger deal out of this because you're the one bringing it on the radio. And if that's what he's saying, well, the answer to that is not really no. Your own police department allowed for this feature story, this profile piece, to be written about the officer. So because and if I can tell you this, I put in a request to interview the officer. I haven't heard anything back on it. I put a request in with Assistant Deputy Chief Carollo, who usually responds to all of my questions and requests. I sent an email asking to have Officer Taj come on, and I said, and you can come with him if that's, you know, how you, because he's the, you know, public information officer. I said, so you can come with him, but I haven't heard anything in response. Now, I don't fault Assistant Deputy Chief Carollo for that. I think that there's probably other people that say, no, we're not doing that. But here they agreed to let this profile piece happen to allow, I'm assuming, Kevin Andre to ride with the officer, or, you know, just to spend time with the officer on the beat, because it was very much an in-person story, very much a on-the-scene story. The narrative that was being told. So I'm just going to assume that, you know, he spent the day with him or spent some time with him or whatever, based on the way that it was reported. And that has to be arranged with the police department. So it wasn't like this reporter just went and said, I'm going to go follow this cop around and ask him some questions. It doesn't work like that. The police officer would say, I'm sorry, I can't speak to you. I've got to talk to my supervisors about that. You got to arrange that with the higher ups. And I'm positive that's how, you know, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty positive that that's how it happened, that it was arranged through the department, because they said this will be a great, it'll make us look good. It will certainly help a community in New Bedford that I'm sure has been paying attention to the reporting of the New Bedford Light because of all the stories they've done about the immigration crisis and about the ICE raids in New Bedford and the coverage that they've had and the reporter who's been reporting all that. So, yeah, I mean, this will help spread that word to that community that we have this officer now, to the Mayan community. I also think that it would serve as a bit of a recruiting tool as well for people who might say, well, I don't know how I feel about joining a city police department because, you know, who knows how they might feel about me as a minority or what have you. And so this shows like, hey, listen, we're open to all different kinds of out of the box thinking here. And so maybe that also helps attract some candidates. So on their end, it's a good idea. I don't know who actually approved it. If it happened under Chief Thody, you know, maybe he's not familiar enough with the area yet to say, we just got to wonder what's going to happen when, you know, WBSM starts talking about this. But certainly other folks in the department knew that this story would become talk radio fodder. So this was, you can't act like you're surprised now. And also, by the way, New Bedford Light should have known it was going to become talk radio fodder, which is good for them, even though they, you know, can't ever mention our call letters. You know what? Maybe we'll just start referring to them as an online publication, since they just refer to us as a local talk radio station. I'm sure Jack Splane will be in here in a couple of weeks for his regular Town Square Sunday appearance. I'm sure we'll have Colin Hogan and other reporters on to talk about some of the work they're doing. But, you know, we're just local talk radio station. Can't even economize the space. You know, don't be so wordy. You can just shorten local talk radio station to four letters, WBSM. Not that hard. But anyway, this local online publication knew that it would be talk radio fodder. And honestly, didn't report out enough his citizenship status. I probably, if I was the editor of that piece, would have said, What does normalize his citizenship mean? Can you just put a little bit of more information in there? Because it's probably going to come up where people are going to have questions about it. Can you just find out what that means? And maybe it was he's not comfortable saying any more than that. Well, okay, well then ask, get a quote from the supervisor, get a quote from the department. Anyway, I've rambled on a little bit too much here. I got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the news. We'll have the Gen X Files. Your chance to win a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. If you can guess our brain freeze question of the week. I can tell you this week, it's a pretty easy one. So a lot of you are going to know this one right off the top of your head. I might have gone a little bit deep cut the last couple of weeks. So this one is one that many people will know right off the top of their head. So we'll get into all that coming up in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
Good. Life in prison for a Colorado dentist. WWE's Vince McMahon accused of reckless driving and AI helping to improve healthcare.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Colorado dentist accused of slowly poisoning his wife to death will spend the rest of his life in prison. It took the jury about 8 hours to find James Craig guilty, and the judge sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole yesterday. Investigators in Aurora say that Craig killed his wife, Angela, by poisoning her protein shakes with a deadly mixture of cyanide and other drugs. Craig poisoned her numerous times, including a final dose while she was in the hospital, with doctors trying to figure out her illness. A Texas man whose father was found frozen in a sealed freezer will spend up to 10 years behind bars. David Gibson of San Antonio found guilty of a number of tampering charges, but not murder. It is still unclear how his dad died. The corpse was discovered during a welfare check. At the time, the sheriff said Gibson was impersonating his father to cash his checks. Artificial intelligence is being seen as a promising tool to cure diseases. Doctors in Northern California have developed AI assistance to help in their research.
Using AI to generate ideas, to seed experiments in the lab, it's just a very natural, in my mind, a no-brainer.
That's Dr. John Pack with the Chan Zuckerberg BioHub Network in San Francisco. He says AI won't replace human researchers, but they will assist by handling tasks like coding, modeling, and attending meetings. Doctors at Stanford University helped create the AI team to increase the productivity of researchers, allowing them to focus on new treatments. A third suspect in a viral Cincinnati brawl is now in custody. 39-year-old Jermaine Matthews arrested and booked on aggravated riot and assault charges. Video of the weekend incident spread across social media, showing a man and a woman being physically attacked by a group of people. Two other suspects, 34-year-old Montanez Merriweather and 24-year-old Dakira Vernon, also booked this week. The FBI is also investigating the incident. Former Vice President Kamala Harris will not be running for governor of California in 2026. In a statement, Harris said she gave serious thought to making a run, but ultimately decided not to enter the race. Harris said for now her leadership in public service will not be in elected office, saying she will share more details about her own plans in the coming months. This comes as speculation remains regarding a possible run again for the White House in 2028. A new study claims children who get a smartphone before the age of 13 have a higher suicide risk than other children.
Researchers in Virginia tracked over 100,000 smartphone users ages 18 to 24 and found those who had smartphones before the age of 13 showed much higher rates of suicidal thoughts and emotional issues. It found girls were especially affected, with 48% of those who got phones at an early age reporting suicidal thoughts. It also showed the impact of early smartphone use was worldwide, but that English-speaking countries reported the most severe effects. If you or anyone you love is in need of help, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline can be reached 24/7 by calling or texting 988. I'm Michael Kastner.
Radioactive wasps were discovered at a nuclear facility in South Carolina, according to a report from the Department of Energy Radiological Control Operations discovered a wasp nest on a post near a tank at the Savannah River site earlier this month. Officials said the nest was sprayed to kill the wasps, and after it was probed, a moderately high level of radiation was detected. Former WWE boss Vince McMahon facing charges after a multi-car crash in Connecticut last Thursday. According to Connecticut State Police, McMahon was driving one of three vehicles involved in the crash in Westport, where he reportedly rear-ended another car and then crashed into a wooden beam guardrail. No injuries were reported. McMahon was issued a misdemeanor summons for reckless driving and following too closely, resulting in an accident. He was released shortly after posting bond and will be back in court on August 26th.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox crushed the Twins yesterday 13-1. Sox off tonight. They'll host the Astros tomorrow night at Fenway at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Clouds and showers throughout your day today, 78 in the upper 60s tonight. Showers and a stray thunderstorm tomorrow, 68. Weekend looking sunny and dry, 75 to 80 both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right. We are going to be going into the Gen X Files in a second. It's going to be your chance to win a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, our brain freeze question of the week. It's all coming up, but let's get right into it.
The Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. Actor Michael Bane, best known for roles in James Cameron films like The Terminator, Aliens, and The Abyss, turns 69 years old today. Businessman and Shark Tank star Mark Cuban is 67. Actor Wesley Snipes turns 63. Harry Potter writer J.K. Rowling is 60 today. TV's former Superman Dean Cain is 59. Musician Zach Brown is 47. While The Office star and Newton, Massachusetts native B.J. Novak turns 46. July 31st, 1969, Elvis Presley kicked off a four-week run at the Las Vegas International Hotel, his first live show since 1961. He reportedly netted $1.5 million for the shows. On the menu was an Elvis special, Polk salad with corn muffins and honey. On the 31st of July, 1980, during an Eagles concert at Long Beach, California, tempers boiled over between Glenn Frey and Don Felder, who spent the entire show describing to each other the beating each planned to administer backstage. "Only three more songs until I kick your ass, pal," Frey told Felder. The group's next album was mixed by Frey and Felder on opposite coasts after the two decided they couldn't bear to be in the same state, let alone the same studio. On this date in 1989, the Game Boy, the Nintendo Game Boy, was released. In 1994, Aaliyah and R. Kelly secretly married at the Sheraton Gateway Suites in Rosemont, Illinois. Aaliyah never admitted being married, though Vibe published a copy of the marriage certificate. Unfortunately, she was only 15 years old at the time, so the marriage was later annulled. In 1999, Christina Aguilera topped the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time with Genie in a Bottle, a track off her self-titled debut. It spent 5 weeks at number one, and she won the Best New Artist Grammy that year. Also on July 31st, 1999, Wu-Tang Clan member Old Dirty Bastard, whose real name was Russell Jones, was also known as Dirt McGirt, Big Baby Jesus, Old Dirty Chinese Restaurant. He was arrested for crack and marijuana possession in New York after being stopped by police during a routine traffic offense. In 2012, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band played their longest ever set, staying on stage for an epic 4 hours and 6 minutes at Finland's Helsinki Olympia Stadion. 4 years later, the Boss nearly repeated that same feat at Philadelphia's Citizens Bank Park. That concert, however, fell 2 minutes short of his Finland record. That's the Gen X Files for July 31st, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where you can win one for free if you can answer the brain freeze question of the week. Where the Nintendo Game Boy was released on this date in 1989, what game was included with the Game Boy? 508-996-0500. First person with the correct answer wins a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. That is your Gen X Files. And you got to love a Gen X Files when I get to say ass and bastard, and they're both in context. So you can't report me to the FCC. They were both in context. They were both required. All right, we're going to take a break here. If you know the answer to the brain freeze question of the week, when the Nintendo Game Boy was released, what game was included? The first person with the correct answer wins a free porch sampler from McGraw's. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Stay tuned. Didn't quite get to the part where it's like... Let's see. Is it going to get there? No, back into the... Okay. Well, that is, of course, the theme to Tetris, which was the answer to today's brain freeze question of the week. What was the game that was included with the Nintendo Game Boy when it was first launched? It was Tetris. The original plan was to launch it with Super Mario Land because they launched the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, and they had, what was it, the action set? So there was different names for, so you could get a Nintendo with no games, and it was, I think it was called the control set, and then I believe the one with the Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt was the action set, and they eventually had one that had Mario, Duck Hunt, and I think Track and Field with the power pad. And so the idea was, you know, some people didn't want to get a game included, but I think most people went for the one that had Mario Brothers. So obviously, and of course, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers became the biggest game of all time at that point. And so when they're launching their next device, their next console, they all said, well, we're going to do a handheld. And so the natural assumption is, well, let's take the Mario title and include that like we did with the NES. It was a huge success for us doing that. We'll include the game. And someone said, well, hold off. If you put Super Mario Land, which, by the way, is one of my favorite Mario games, but if you put Super Mario Land in with those Game Boys, you're only really going to sell Game Boys to kids and to people who are fans of Super Mario Brothers. And we want this device to be something that, like, business people buy and keep in their briefcase and play while they're on the train or something. Like, we want this to appeal to everybody because we're going to put out different types of games for this that would be more adult as well. So we need a game that will appeal to everybody. And also, we know everybody loves Mario. So if we don't include Mario with the Game Boy, then people are going to go out and then spend 30, 40 bucks, whatever it costs for the game, extra. So they're going to go and buy the Game Boy with Tetris in it. Tetris will appeal to more people than Mario will. And then they're just going to go buy Mario anyway if they want it. And it turned out to be absolutely correct. And it was the right move. And Tetris became a worldwide sensation. They made a movie a couple of years ago. I think it was on Apple TV about how Tetris was acquired. And it was just a wild story. And I guess a lot of it was kind of dramatized and maybe even a little fabricated for the movie. But it's still a very interesting story how they basically were able to get Tetris out from under the Soviet government. And so, yeah, check it out. I forget the name of it. Might even be called, I don't know. I don't remember the name of it, but I'll have to look it up. But yes, think about that. How many of you never played video games in your life, but then the Game Boy came out and Tetris was out and you're like, okay, I like this. And the Game Boy came out at $89.99. And I remember when I finally got one for Christmas, I think it was Christmas of 1991. I don't think it was the Christmas immediately following the release. I think it was after that. And I got it with Tetris. And then my birthday is a little less than 2 weeks after Christmas. And I went out and got Super Mario Land for my birthday. And then the next year on my birthday, I got Super Mario Land 2. I was all about my Game Boy. I brought it everywhere. And now you can play those games on your phone with an emulator. Anyway, one thing, too, if you're going to play a lot of video games, you're going to end up using a lot of power, right? And you probably see that electric bill rising and rising and rising, especially after this heat wave we just had and you had the air conditioning running. You're worried about what that bill is going to look like when you open it up in August. Well, you can start saving money by making an investment in going solar. Isaacson Solar can help you. Just reach out to them, isaacsonsolar.com. Have them come out, sit down, talk to you, and give you all the straightforward information you need about going solar. No sales pitch, no pressure. They will look at your home. They'll tell you if you're a good fit for solar. And if you are, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote. And it doesn't just have to be panels on your roof. There's all different ways that they can make solar work for you. So reach out to them and have them come out and talk to you. IsaacsonSolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. I got to get one more break in here before the end of the hour. We'll be right back.
There, I think she knew what I wanted to hear. Spin them around like a wheel on fire. Walking on tightrope for love's highway. Fatal attraction is where I'm at. There's no escaping me. I just wanna be close to you. And you are the thing you want me to. I just wanna be close.
And I'm gonna be close to the news here. So we're going to have to take a break for that. But when we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. We can talk more about the mayor's comments on the hiring of legal permanent residents for the police department. We can talk more on the longevity pay because the New Bedford Light had to correct some of their reporting. If you remember, there was some confusion yesterday because they were reporting that the city wasn't going to try to get that money back. And Chris had said that he had heard from the mayor's office that they were going to try to get that money back. And the mayor said yesterday with Chris that the New Bedford Light had it incorrect.